It's Life and Taxes with Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins with us this afternoon. And Andrew, as always, I'm looking forward to the conversation. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Lockwood.
So what's the topic today?
We're going to take a little deviation today from the tax world, Lockwood. We have a publication that goes around the State Bar Association for those that are in the estate planning practice area called The Will and the Way. And the cool thing about The Will and the Way is that it gives practitioners articles that they can use to help clients. And then they also do recent development section. So the recent development section just goes through and outlines what are the cases that have been decided, you know, here in the last quarter that you should take note of, attorneys. And of course, one of them caught my eye, as they tend to do. And the reason it caught my eye was a couple of things. Number one, this was a win-win for the good guys, is the way I'll call it, as far as the case goes. The second thing is, it's out of Pamlico County.
Close by, yeah.
It's close by. So the judge was the Honorable John Nobles presided over this case. So that's also a cool little touch there. And this case that we're going to get into deals with financial exploitation of elders. And it's a very important topic, Lockwood, because unfortunately, when I go through these facts, these facts are presented at our office, I hate to say this, on an all too routine basis. Several times a year, we have someone come in and mention, not identical maybe, everything very slightly. But I'm saying the crux of the matter is very, very similar to four or five times a year that we hear about people in our community that are unfortunately being taken advantage of by unscrupulous individuals.
That is very sad. And of course, this comes under the category of elder abuse in some fashion. But all right, so in this particular case, Pamlico County, and by the way, Judge Nobles from Carter County, now retired, this has a very local flavor to
That's
it.
That's right. And, you know, this case was upheld by the Court of Appeals.
Okay.
And it's a criminal case, so it's interesting. So at Harvell and Collins, we do not practice criminal law. But the reason I kind of started with this is a win-win for the good guys, is that because the state and the local law enforcement really did everything they were supposed to do, which unfortunately is not the case. And we're going to get into that in a number of areas when we have financial exploitation. The law enforcement has good intentions, but a lot of times they just don't have the ability to be able to get really involved in these matters. And it really is on a civil level, Lockwood, where, you know, fellow lawyers at Harvell and Collins, Wes Collins, Cecil Harvell, myself, we're getting involved in these matters and trying to help our clients pursue civil remedies rather than criminal culpability, which is what happened in this particular case. So this is State of North Carolina versus Thomas Wayne Self. And we have, unfortunately, an all-too-familiar fact pattern. As I said, we have Lily Monk, who lost her husband, Pastor Mike Monk Jr. He died in 2015. And, of course, this typically happens, Lockwood. She lost her rock. She lost the person that she depended on. So she turned to an individual by the name of Thomas Wayne Steele. Thomas Wayne Steele was also, ironically enough, a pastor. And during testimony, Mrs. Monk said when she lost her husband, she didn't know where to turn, so she turned to what she believed was a man of God who would certainly be willing to help her by all means necessary. Unfortunately, Mr. Steele seemed to be more interested in helping himself than helping Mrs. Monk. And so what ended up happening in this particular case is he got added to several bank accounts as joint owner of those accounts. So what does that mean, Lockwood, when you're added as a joint owner?
You have control.
You have control. Now, it doesn't mean you can use the funds for yourself. Let's get that very clear right from the very beginning. It doesn't mean you can have carte blanche opportunity.
Right.
But the bank will not question you if you do. There's no like, oh gosh, you know, is Mr. Steele taking advantage of Miss Monk? Nope, he's on the account. So he can therefore do certain things that we're going to get into, things that he had done. One of the things he had did was he had some bank accounts at the same financial institution, and he used her accounts as overdraft protection. So whenever he'd run short of some funds paying his bills, guess whose money they dipped into? Mrs. Monk's.
Mm-hmm.
So that ended up being a considerable sum, over $20,000, that in this particular case was taken from Mrs. Monk's accounts to not pay her bills, to pay Mr. Steele's bills. So that was one aspect of it. Another aspect of it is he happened to take her to an attorney's office,
mm-hmm.
got her to sign a power of attorney, allowing him to have financial decision-making power over Mrs. Monk's assets. He also got her to sign a will that named him as executor and named him as majority beneficiary of her estate upon her death. Well, lo and behold, after about 4 years after Mr. Monk had passed, Mrs. Monk's brother kind of got fed up and said, I know something's going on. This Mr. Steele, he's not doing right. You know, I'm going to call the Pamlico County Sheriff's Office.
Right.
And to their credit, the Pamlico County Sheriff's Office got an SBI agent by the name of Kevin Sneed involved.
Mm-hmm.
So the SBI agent comes down to Pamlico County and starts doing his investigation. And lo and behold, what does he find? He finds that Mr. Steele had taken a total of $123,367.09 from Mrs. Monk. So what did he use it for? We talked about the overdraft protection. Right. That was $21,000 right there. He also took $15,000 for a down payment on a Ford truck that it was titled in his name, $6,000 in contributions to his own IRA, $4,000, almost $5,000 to repairs to his Mercedes, $8,000 in payments on his credit card account, and over $25,000 of cash withdrawals. Now, his reasoning behind doing all this is, of course, that, you know, Mrs. Monk didn't mind.
Right.
The bright thing about this particular case is we have Mrs. Monk there to testify and say that was not
what
her intent was.
Right.
Her intent was not to allow Mr. Steele to just take her money.
I'm going to digress here for a moment with you, Andrew Foster, of course, of Harvell and Collins. We're talking life and taxes, but though it may not be a tax issue, it's a life issue. And we've talked with the staff there, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins, on numerous occasions about estates and estate planning and management. I think the critical issue here, Andrew, is that we cannot make assumptions when it comes to estate matters. And here's an individual whose estate was being slowly drained.
Correct.
By a nefarious individual.
Correct.
And I thankfully, the son did step in. Unfortunately, it was a little tardy, but... All right, what was the conclusion on this?
Yeah, good question. So really the answer is that Mr. Steele didn't have much of a defense. You know, all his defense was is I was on the bank accounts, you know, that type of matter. But to his credit, he couldn't put the hand on the Bible and say, you know, I put money in that account, that was my money, and I used that money. No, he had to admit that it was Mrs. Monk's money in that account that he was using for his benefit. And ultimately, he was charged with one count of embezzlement, four counts of financial exploitation of elder abuse. The jury came back unanimously guilty on all charges.
And it was appealed?
It was appealed and upheld. It was appealed for more procedural reasons than anything else. We won't get into that. But the bottom line is, guess what he got, Lockwood? He got sentenced to one count of 6 to 17 months. Three other counts, 13 to 25 months each, to run consecutively.
Okay.
And then his embezzlement charge was 73 to 100 months to run concurrently with the financial exploitation charges. The bottom line is, when you do the math on everything, mm-hmm. the minimum time that Mr. Steele will spend in prison is going to be the 73 months that would be that embezzlement charge.
All right. We're looking at 6 years.
Correct.
All right. Now, the interesting aspect of this is, you said earlier, this is normally handled in a civil case. This was criminal.
Yeah.
Why do we not see more criminal action on this situation? Is because people just don't think about that in a criminal process? Or an embezzlement normally does fall under a civil case, does it not?
Yeah, embezzlement is a criminal charge.
Oh, it is. All right.
Yes, financial exploitation is a criminal charge. The issue that we have, Lockwood, is, and the reason that we find a lot of people in our office talking about this and saying maybe they had contacted law enforcement or Department of Social Services who had done investigations on the matter, but really just couldn't make much headway on things. These are tough crimes. I mean, you got to remember embezzlement, financial exploitation. Here we have an individual. He's on a joint account. I mean, some of this stuff, like if the person says the right thing and maybe the individual is not quite, Miss Monk here seems to be good to go, but you flip the pattern a little bit and say, what if Miss Monk's got some dementia or Alzheimer's type issues? Well, she's not there to defend herself in this particular regard, and it's a lot easier to hide these things. And then the law enforcement doesn't feel comfortable, you know, pursuing the action because their information may be limited as to what they have. Well, what do you have to do, Lockwood? You have to file an action civilly for breach of fiduciary duty, for exploitation, for conversion, for all of these things, tortious interference with expected inheritance. I mean, there's a lot of different claims that we can make on this. And what's the important thing about having this handled in a civil matter? Well, number one, we get to conduct discovery. So we get to get the bank records and the bank statements and get the information that we're going to need in order to pursue this matter against the people like Mr. Steeles of the world. We're also going to be able to, as we pursue through the matter, lock down certain assets to make sure that further financial exploitation does not occur in these particular, you know, situations. So those are two very important things that pursuing this matter civilly does. The other thing is you can get recovery. So that's the thing, the difference in the penalty. So penalty, Mr. Steele, you know, is going to serve 6 years in prison. But, you know,
what about the recovery?
Difficult to get recovery. There's some restitution that was granted in this particular case under the criminal statutes. But, you know, on the civil side, we can get a judgment, you know, and then pursue that judgment to make sure that we get as meaningful recovery as possible. Now, the tragic situations are the one where the money is gone and the individuals kind of run through it.
Right.
And there's not much recovery there, but at least we've stopped the bleeding, so to speak. We have made sure that we have put these individuals, asserted their rights, stopped this nefarious behavior from going on, put it out in court, get it out in the open. And then when, you know, this case in this particular matter, Pamlico County Sheriff's Office, to their credit, got the SBI involved and really went guns a-blazing against Mr. Steele. And this ends up being one of those great outcomes for, you know, about the best outcome you could ask for the Monk family, who unfortunately got taken advantage of. I'm just telling you, Lockwood, that is not the case in a lot of matters that we deal with. And that's why, you know, we at Harbell and Collins, when we hear about these types of situations, we act promptly and swiftly to make sure that we get the action filed that needs to be filed, and we get this matter out in the open, get it to come to light, and then guess what happens? We usually get very positive results for our clients in these types of matters because we're able to act swiftly, act promptly, get the right action filed to the point where maybe even the nefarious character realizes, they got me, and maybe even turns back things in willingly. So.
All right, that's we're talking with Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins Life and Taxes, and this issue is more than just taxes this go around, but it is a life issue, and I guess the important aspect of this is things such as estate matters and also the care of the elderly by family members is something to be very observant about.
Correct. Yeah. And I think the big thing here is the brother was the one who was the whistleblower in this particular action. It's always great to have family members checking in on elderly individuals to then tip off the people such as law enforcement or attorneys such as myself at Harvell and Collins so we can take the action that's going to protect that individual.
Remember that. And by the way, remember also Harvell and Collins. And if you want, go to their website, Harvell and, spell out the word and, Harvell and Collins, a local number, 252-726-9050, 726-9050. And as always, Andrew, thanks very much for your time.